This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. All praise is due to Allah the Exalted. We praise Him. We seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of our sins and the evils within ourselves. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides because they are sincere in seeking guidance, none can misguide. And whomever He rightfully causes to be led astray because they are not sincere in seeking guidance, none can guide. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, is his servant and final messenger. Allah the Exalted reminds us for our own benefit and success and salvation, what is translated as, O you who believe, O believers, be conscious of Allah as He deserves, as is His right upon you. Be conscious of Allah. And do not die except in a state of worship, in a state of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be consistent and sincere in worshipping Him so that we die upon it as well. Allahumma ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, O you who believe, be conscious of Allah, be aware of Allah, do what is required of you, and let every soul reflect on what you sent ahead for tomorrow, for your afterlife, for your presentation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let every soul reflect so that we prepare. And be conscious of Allah, verily Allah is aware of all that you do. Approximately 10 years ago, after witr prayer in the month of Ramadan, here in the state of Michigan, a young man walked up after, right after I had finished the witr prayer, he walked up and he had tears on his face. And it looked like he had been crying during the salah, during the dua portion of the prayer. So I said, Assalamu alaikum, and he didn't respond verbally. He took out a phone, one of those phones back then that had a keyboard on the side, and he started typing very fast. And he started typing, Assalamu alaikum, my name is such and such. And I realized he was deaf, he could not hear. And he was typing basically his communication back to me. And he told me his story. And I've shared this story many times before. And I believe this is a very multifaceted story in terms of its lessons. He said, when I was 16 years old, I had just finished memorizing the Quran. My mother, when I was growing up, had insisted and guided me and helped me and advised me and subscribed me to many programs and schools and tutors so that I would memorize Quran. And she kept telling me, this will change your life. Allah will bless you. Allah loves you because you are connecting to His speech. And he said, and I kept taking that advice. I kept learning. I kept memorizing. I kept studying its tafsir with my teachers. And at the age of 16, he had just finished reciting the last ayah from memory, from heart. And when he recited his last ayah, he completed his ijazah, his certification with his teacher. And he said approximately a week after that, he started to lose his hearing. At the age of 16, he started to lose his hearing. And eventually, within a very short period of time, he completely lost the ability to hear. He said, sometimes it's as though I can hear the Quran from a distance. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows me to hear, but it's very faint. And he said, tonight I heard the Qur'an, and that's why I was crying. He said, I'm not angry, I'm not upset. I'm so grateful to Allah that He gave me the ability to finish memorizing the Qur'an before He took away the blessing of hearing, before He tested me with it. He said, I'm not ungrateful, I'm very happy. Ya Allah, how many of us reflect on the ability, the blessing You have right now, just to hear a recitation of Qur'an? Just to hear the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we appreciate this magnificent blessing? What if someone knew in advance they had 1 week left to listen to the Qur'an, and after that they will never hear again? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve all the blessings that we have and guide us to use them in a way that is pleasing to Him. How many of us are grateful for those who are able to look into the Mus'haf and read and read and read as much Qur'an as you want? How many of us are grateful for the ability to speak and to recite the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Use the blessings that you have while you have them. For even if you have a blessing until the end of your life, and that's when you passed away, use the blessing during the time that Allah gave it to you in a way that is most pleasing to Him. In a way that won't cause you next year, next week, the next day, or in the afterlife to say, I wish I did more. I wish I listened more to Qur'an. We're living in a times in which we have a blessing that no previous generation in this entire ummah had. And that is the ability to even listen to not just live recitations or your own recitation, but to millions of recordings of the Qur'an anytime you want. Instant download, instant playing, instant streaming all around the world. Do we appreciate that blessing as well? In fact, when we have more blessings, we have more responsibilities to take advantage of them. And it means that we have less excuses not to be connecting with the Qur'an on a daily basis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us and our loved ones amongst the people of the Qur'an. Allahumma ameen. Our short khutbah today is about six principles or six different ways to live by the Qur'an. And if we are able to live by the Qur'an consistently and sincerely, we pray and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not just to make us people of the Qur'an in this world, but to allow us to be resurrected with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to enjoy the blessings of the Qur'an in the next life. Allahumma ameen. Now no doubt everything begins with your intention, your sincerity. If you value something, you will attain it in life. You will pursue it. You will do everything you have to do to get it done. When you really care about something, no matter how busy you are, no matter what's happening in your life, somehow you can still find the time and the resources to pursue it. Why? Because it matters to you. The question is, does it matter to us? Does it matter to you to connect to the Qur'an and to live by it? Is it great and magnificent in your heart? Or is it maybe a side thing? A small checkbox every day, one ayah, I'm done, I don't care about anything else. Or even, not even that. Oftentimes, many people are waiting for a wake-up call, a calamity in their families. May Allah protect us. They're waiting for the month of Ramadan. They're waiting for Hajj and Umrah. What are you waiting for? The Qur'an is to be lived by as a way of life. In fact, if there's anything to read or recite or review on a daily basis, it is the Qur'an. And so when we talk about sincerity, where many of us and many people struggle with motivation, because they think it's not for them, because they think it's only for students of Qur'an or teachers of Qur'an or scholars and so on and so forth. The Qur'an has so many facets to it that if we were to understand them, we would make the Qur'an our sole focus in life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be motivated constantly. This requires us to take a step back and understand the question of why. Why should I be motivated? What is it that will motivate any one of us, any person in this ummah, to feel like they should have a strong, daily, healthy relationship with the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The first is to recognize the Qur'an for what it is. What do I mean by this? Imagine you received a voice message from someone famous, someone you look up to. Imagine you received a text message, a phone call, a voice message, a gift, a letter, a note from someone famous, someone you respected, someone that you valued, someone you looked up to. A king or a queen, a president, a ruler, a famous righteous celebrity, a sports player, whatever it may be, but someone you look up to, religiously speaking as well. And this person sent you a message. Would you cherish that message? Would you read it? Or would you leave it unread? Would you ignore it? No doubt if it's someone you look up to and you value, regardless of who it is, because you value them, you will value the message. You will read the message. And most people may even hold on to something like that because of how much they respect this person they look up to, whether it's a God-fearing sports player or a righteous scholar or anything else. How about the Qur'an? Now this, the minor analogy that I am giving is a very clumsy one. How about the Qur'an? Correspondence from Allah to His creation? Correspondence until the end of times? They only preserved message that Allah decreed for His creation. In your hands, you have access to it. You don't have to pay a price for it. You don't have to have a specific background. You don't have to have a specific ethnicity or language or anything else. You can access the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anywhere, anytime. Correspondence from Allah. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahmullah, one of the earliest scholars from the second generation, he said, the people before you, he was giving advice and he was reminding them of the Sahaba. He said, the people before you used to consider the Qur'an correspondence from Allah, meaning a message from Allah to His creation. So they would ponder upon it by night, meaning they would reflect and study the Qur'an, and they would live upon it by day. The Quran is a way of life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to recognize it as correspondence from Allah and to value it and respect it as is required of it. Another thing to think about with regards to the motivation and what the Quran is about, it is the last miracle. It is the last mu'jiza to a prophet. You are not around to see, although it would have been amazing to see the splitting of the sea at the time of Musa alayhi salam. We were not there to see the splitting of the moon as well at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We were not there to see any type of miracle or mu'jiza given to a messenger or prophet to prove that they were prophets from God. We were not there to witness those miracles because they were limited in time and space. We hear about them. We have access to the stories about those moments. But the only mu'jiza we have access to today, and the only prophet or messenger given a miracle, a mu'jiza that is lasting until the end of times, is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so the Quran is not limited to time and space. The Quran is a miracle you can study and access any time until the end of times. This is the final mu'jiza, the final miracle that we have access to. How many of us cherish it for what it is? Many times when we share the stories of the Quran and the stories that took place in the past, many young people say, I wish I could see that. That would increase my iman. I wish I could see one miracle, just one miracle, so I can connect with it. And they forget, and we forget the access to the Quran. And this requires us to study as well, very basic but very fundamental topic, and that is I'jaz al-Quran. Why the Quran is miraculous. So this is a very obvious, rational conclusion. When you study I'jaz al-Quran, that clearly this is from God. And when you study I'jaz al-Quran, it increases you in iman, and you realize, I have a mu'jiza right here. We have access to the miracle right here. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to cherish the Quran for what it is. Another facet of motivation in terms of the Quran and living by it is to realize what it is. It's a source of guidance. Hudan lilmuttaqeen. It is a guidance for those who seek guidance. Now, generally speaking, and this is a very minor analogy, when you purchase certain types of advanced technologies or equipments, oftentimes they come with manuals, some guidance on what to do when something goes wrong, maintenance. Some cars they come with, and vehicles in general, they come with little booklets of, you know, 500, 600, 700 pages, and so on and so forth. And that's so that you understand what this thing is, you understand what the purpose is, you understand what you're doing, you understand the function of every single part of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with a purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what that purpose is. And He sent us with a final messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, clarification with details about how to live your life. Morality, objective morality, so you can navigate all the hardships of life. So that you can navigate all the problems of society wherever you are. So you can reform yourself internally and become the best possible person you can be. That does not come from anywhere else. And so the Quran is a guidance for those who seek guidance. People who don't seek guidance are pursuing something else. Meaning they are pursuing either their desires, the worship of their own egos and selves, or something in society, something that someone else is pressuring them to do, or some trend that's rising and falling every few decades and every few centuries. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to take the Quran as a guidance and reference for everything in life. Allahumma ameen. The Quran as well is a source of success. As we've mentioned many times before, every single context and scenario has its own criteria for success. When you're taking an exam, you know what you need to succeed. When you start your university class this semester, you have a syllabus that tells you if you do A, B, and C, these three assignments, this exam, this paper, that's how you pass this class. This is the rubric for your grade. When you're playing a video game, getting certain points takes you to the next level. That's how you succeed. When you're talking about a basketball game or a match, soccer match, so on and so forth, scoring more points, that's how you succeed. So with every single thing you do in life, there's some measurement, some criteria for general success. The problem is when people take, and may Allah protect us, even as believers, when people take metrics of success based on, let's say, money or capitalism or relationships or anything worldly that's important for the sake of Allah, but they take it and they apply it to life in general. And they make that small, limited metric of success the ultimate success. So they forget, for example, that we were created for a greater success that is eternal, it's lasting. So if you succeed for 70 years in this world, may Allah bless you. Use it for great reasons, great intentions for the akhirah. But if you do so without working for Jannah, without working for the afterlife, without living by the Quran, what you're really doing then is taking one limited type of success and misapplying it to your entire life. And oftentimes when parents are talking to their children about worldly success, The type of rhetoric, the type of words that we use matter. And they may say things that indicate to the child, to the young son or daughter, that if you don't do this, you're a failure. If you do this, you're successful. And oftentimes they're emphasizing, let's say, worldly things that are important, like your studies and your job and so on and so forth, but no emphasis whatsoever on the ultimate success. Because you can succeed in this world, but if you're not building towards something lasting, then the eternal success is lost. And that's the one that really matters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the good of this life and the good of the next life. Allahumma ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us successful in both worlds. Allahumma ameen. And the last point to motivate ourselves even more to live by the Qur'an is to recognize that the Qur'an is a shifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it numerous times as a healing, as a cure. Shifa'un lima fi sudur. It is a healing for what is in the hearts. Many scholars of theology and psychology, and especially those who have mastered both fields, they've noted and referenced the different parts of the Quran in terms of the maxims, the principles, the reminders, the coping mechanisms, the belief system itself, and what it is that leads to mental resilience, what it is that leads to strength. What it is that heals the heart when people recite the Qur'an. Why is it that we find with many studies over the last few decades, that the Qur'an clearly has a psychological impact on us? Meaning it affects you in terms of your mental well-being. It builds resilience. It helps heal certain types of sadnesses and depression, certain types. And why are we emphasizing this? Why are we emphasizing these studies? Oftentimes we ignore the Qur'an, we abandon the Qur'an. We don't live by it, recite it, think about it. And when we do recite Qur'an in prayer, it's the same surah, two or three ayat for a rak'ah, and you're flying through the prayer, not taking the quality of it. And then you wonder, why do I feel this way? Oftentimes the very healing you are looking for is right there in front of you, and you have access to it. And there are many studies like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He describes the Qur'an as a healing for what is in the hearts, the scholars say, this is a spiritual, psychological healing. This is the type of healing that protects you from certain types of worldly sadnesses, from certain types of anxieties about future uncertainties, from certain types of fears about what it is that someone may be doing to oppose you. And this is how the believers at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were also given the psychological resilience that they needed to get through their challenges. How else did they get through the boycott for 3 years, the complete cut off of the Muslims? How else did they get through the hijrah, where they left everything behind and they moved to a new home and they started from scratch? How else did they deal with the many battles and wars and the many oppressions, and then later on the hypocrites in Medina who are trying to harm them? How did they deal with all of that? They required mental resilience. They required some kind of strength, and it came through the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at some of the studies, and I've been through, subhanAllah, a number of articles and journals looking at these in the past when discussing I'jaz al-Qur'an, one of the studies found that in a particular group, depression was overcome by a certain group of students to the extent that those who listened to the Qur'an and those who took care of reciting the Qur'an on a daily basis with a prescription, for an actual prescription in terms of listening to the Qur'an, they found that 78% of them found it to be effective for their sadness, for their depression. Another study in 1995, actually by non-Muslims, found that when looking at the Qur'an in terms of the theology and psychology, that it provided a number of different ways to prevent mental burdens on people, on the followers of the Qur'an. Number three, a study in 1997 indicated with a group of high school students that those who followed the prescription of listening to the Qur'an on a weekly basis, I believe it was for approximately a month, they found significantly lower levels in that group compared to the other group, significantly lower levels in terms of depression, anxiety, and stress. Another study in 2014 found that the recitation of the Qur'an was highly effective in treating the anxiety of patients admitted to the oncology care unit in a particular hospital. And the last one, a 2013 study that was published in the Indian Journal of Psychiatry, looked at the role of Islam in the management of psychiatric disorders and found a number of positive effects of the Qur'an on depressed patients. And there are many other studies like this. The point of this is not to focus on just the studies, but to recognize that oftentimes when you're dealing with different types of worldly struggles and fears and emotions, much of what you are looking for can be taken care of by having a daily recitation of the Qur'an, a daily study of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And is it surprising to us? Of course it is not. It is, once again, a shifa, a healing for what is in the hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to heal us physically and psychologically, mentally and spiritually, and in terms of our societies and families through the Quran. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who take all measures, who benefit from all types of beneficial medications and prescriptions that are around us. Allahumma ameen. Of course, I gave this disclaimer before. It does not mean that a person who is in need of anything else in terms of medication does not use it. Rather, that is encouraged in Islam. Now, the final point here, the question that we are asking is, after knowing what the Quran is and all the benefits, and there are many others of the Quran, what are some practical things, six principles, six ways we can live by it? In a very practical way, these are six things all of us can do, inshallah ta'ala. Number one is to recite a minimum amount of Quran every day. You should not allow a day to go by in which you are not reciting Quran, especially and including outside of salah. There should not be a day or a night in which you are doing everything of a dunya, taking care of your obligations, but you are not connecting to the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So have a minimum daily wird, a daily prescription, where no matter how busy you are that day or that night, that you are going to recite at least a few ayat, at least half a page. And there's no better time to start than now if you don't have a habit, because the month of Ramadan is a month away. And this month right now, as we are starting the month before it, the month of Sha'ban, it is Shahrul Qurra. This is the month of the reciters. Why? In order to prepare for the marathon of Ramadan, you don't start the night before, you start a month before. You start practicing from now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us consistency in reciting and reviewing the Quran on a daily basis. Number two is to understand the Quran. It's not enough to say recite or just memorize the Quran as many people are taught. It's extremely important to understand what you're reciting. And if you don't understand the Arabic language, to read the translation and build on it with tafsir. I want to give you a scenario that I started with earlier. Imagine you received a message from someone really important, a letter. And this group of people, they got around and they're looking at this letter from a king, this letter from someone really, really important. But it was pitch black. They could not see. Nobody had a flashlight, nobody had a lantern, nobody had fire. Nobody could read the contents of that message. They were holding on to something valuable, but they could not access the contents of it. The one who then takes out the flashlight, the lantern, the one who understands and sees the meaning, the content of this letter, benefits from it and benefits other people as well. So when it comes to the tafsir of the Quran, we have access to countless resources online. We really don't have excuses. So it is important as we study and connect with the Quran that we are also trying to understand it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the comprehension of the Quran. Allahumma ameen. Number three is to internalize it. One of the objectives of the Quran is to purify us, to build us, to make us better people, so that you are reforming society, so that you're raising righteous children, so that you're living to your true purpose. So internalize the Quran. Make sure as you're reading and you understand now what you're reciting, that you're feeling it. So you're not flying through the ayat, that you're feeling it and living by it. One of the best ways to do that is to pause often and reflect on an ayah, especially with your family, with your loved ones. Reflect on the ayah you just recited. You recited an ayah about the sky. Think about it for a moment. Ya Allah, how magnificent it is. How Allah created it. Kun fayakun, be and it is. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the creation of the human being and the body from nothing, and the fact that you were at one point never even mentioned in this world. You had no body. You were not here in this world. Think about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the humility that we need. So again, this is tadabbur, the contemplation of ayat. And this is one of the objectives. لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِ Allah says, so they will reflect upon these signs and these verses. Take your time when you recite and repeat the ayat over and over so that you take some benefit from it, inshallah ta'ala. Number four, after you internalize it as well, externally to implement it. Anything you read of the Quran or you know of Islam in terms of the Quran and Sunnah that you're supposed to be doing, start doing it. Don't wait until later. The point of the Quran is to be guided by it. You want to know how to succeed, how to enter Jannah, how to earn Allah's pleasure, how to fulfill your purpose, then follow the instructions that came to you that tell you exactly what you need, the criteria of success. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us successful. Number five, to memorize as much of you as you can of the Quran. To make it a goal, no matter how busy you are or how focused you are on worldly things or your livelihood, your job, your family. There are people who have had families and full-time jobs, a physician, mashallah, in our community, who took 3 years aside, even though he was working and raising his children and working with his family and actually volunteering in the community. And he memorized the Quran in 3.5 years. Why? Because he put a very serious plan. He was very sincere. And he started off with two lines a day. But start somewhere. Don't tell yourself, I can't. If you say I can't, then you won't even start. You can memorize more Quran. And why should you? Why should you memorize more of the Quran and carry it around with you and be able to access it, and it's a protection and blessing for you? At least consider this one reward, this one hadith, that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the believers to recite and ascend. Iqra' wartaqi. Recite what you've memorized of the Quran, and for every ayah you recite by heart, you will upgrade a rank in Jannah. A rank in Jannah, by the way, is not like a story in a hotel from level 1 to level 2, or even level 1 to level 30 in some hotels. No, the difference between the levels in Jannah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is like the difference between the earth and the star that you see. That's the next level in Jannah. So the one who memorizes the Quran and holds on to it, and they try to live by it, and they review it, and they die upon that, on the Day of Judgment, they will recite and ascend. And if you think, oh my God, how am I going to memorize 6,236 ayat? At least start somewhere. Juz' Tabarak and Amma, the last two ajza of the Quran, 29 and 30, approximately have 1,000 verses. 1,000 upgrades in Jannah. Is it not worth it? People work so hard in this world to be upgraded in terms of their prestige, in terms of your loyalty status, in terms of the airline status that you have, and so on and so forth. And when you're given a surprise upgrade on a business flight or international flight for business class, people are extremely elated and happy. When they're upgraded in hotels, they're happy. What about Jannah? From one level to the next, the difference between basically the heavens and the earth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who memorize the Qur'an as well. And finally, number six, those who teach the Qur'an. So one way to live by it is to teach it to others. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from this group. Why? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best amongst you are those who learn the Qur'an and teach it to others. And in one authentic report, he told some companions who were poor, they had no worldly wealth, they had no jobs. He told some of those companions, would one of you not want to go out one day and come back, I'm paraphrasing the hadith, come back with two camels, two she-camels, meaning what? Something very valuable. Imagine then that this was their mode of transportation, a vehicle as well, and a she-camel, meaning it will give birth and so on and so forth. At our times, in our times, imagine this is the equivalent of, let's say, a Ferrari, something very expensive as a mode of transportation. The Prophet ﷺ told them, any one of you who goes out and teaches two ayats of the Qur'an, it's better for you. It's better for you than if you were to have two camels, meaning the reward you will have is better than that. And for three ayats, three camels, and so on and so forth. Are we taking advantage of even teaching Qur'an to others? Teaching Qur'an to your family, to your children, to your spouse, to your parents, it does not matter. Find someone who is in need of it to benefit them in some way. And of course, this requires some strategy, some planning, but most importantly, sincerity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us sincere and motivated and passionate and enlightened to take advantage of everything we can with the Qur'an, to live upon it and to die upon it as well. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for all of our shortcomings, all of our sins, the past, present, and future. Seek forgiveness from Allah. He is the oft forgiving, the ever merciful. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, to guide us, to enlighten us, and to make us from amongst those who benefit from what we hear. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the healing, the shifa, the light of the Qur'an, and to be a reason for others to be healed and guided as well. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shade us on the Day of Judgment through the Qur'an, through the regular recitation of the Qur'an. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who preserve the Qur'an in our hearts so that we are preserved by the Qur'an. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us a means of reformation in society through the Quran. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minin wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Allahumma ighfir li walidina wa li walidi walidina. Allahumma ya muqallib al qulub wal absar, thabbit qulubana ala dinik. Allahumma ihdina wahdi bina waj'alna sababan liman ihtada. Allahumma arzuqna al huda wat tuqa wal afafa wal ghina. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد في الأولين وفي الآخرين وفي الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين. اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين. اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان. اللهم فرج الكرب عن المسلمين في كل مكان. اللهم فرج الكرب عن المسلمين في كل مكان في كل مكان في كل مكان يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم ارفع عنا البلاء والوباء. اللهم ارزقنا حسن الخاتمة واجعل خير أيامنا يوم نلقاك. اللهم اجعلنا من أهل القرآن. اللهم اجعلنا من أهل القرآن. اللهم اجعلنا من أهل القرآن. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وأقم الصلاة.